You are listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak. Comic book culture is inescapable. Avengers Endgame broke box office records last weekend. There are X-Men, Spider-Man, and Joker movies due out later this year. Even Black Panther scored a nomination for Best Picture at the Academy Awards this year. But does that bonanza of ticket sales translate to bigger audiences for people who create comic books, the very things these movies are based on? Here to help us dig into that question are two local creators. Eben Burgoon is a writer and educator known for his series B-Squad, Soldiers of Misfortune. Eben, welcome back to Insight.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Also joining us today is the new lead artist for B-Squad, Michael Calero. Michael, welcome back to Insight to you, too.
Thanks for having me.
And let's start off with a little expository dialogue bubble, you know, before we jump into the action, just to play on the comic book theme. Tell us about your upcoming event, Free Comic Book Day. We'll start with you, Eben.
Free Comic Book Day is a coast-to-coast event that happens at all the local small businesses, the comic book shops. So all over the country, you can go into your local comic book shop and get free comics. So all the major publishers put out, I think they're like 51 different comics you can choose from. We're going to be at A1 Comics in Roseville signing the book that we contributed to. But you can go to, there's Empire Comics Fall has a giant festival, Big Brother, all of them here
World's
in Sacramento.
Best. Yeah.
World's best. Like they're all doing something really cool.
So, Michael, you put a lot of work into putting one of these books together. Is it weird to give it away free?
No, for me, this is really cool because I've never actually been a part of Free Comic Book Day on the book side. I've gone to stores and done sketches and signings, but I've never actually had a product that was being given away. So I think it's great.
I said a lot of time goes into it, but as someone who's never created a comic book, I actually have no idea how much time goes into writing an issue, illustrating a page. Assuming everything goes smoothly and there's no hiccups, what does a typical production schedule look like?
There's kind of a rule like a page a day type of thing. So usually like a day to pencil, a day to ink, day to color. Writing is a little different because usually that's done all kind of in one chunk, and that's when artists like myself get the script, and then you got to break it down. And for me, I do a little bit more than most artists do. Usually, artists will just do the penciling or just do the inking. I do all three things. So,
Eben, you're the script guy. So how does that work? Are you constantly thinking in cliffhangers?
You have to be really mindful about a lot of things that when you're writing for other mediums, you don't have to really think about. Page turns are really, really important. Like, you don't want to put something super exciting on the right page because then people don't read your left page. You have to be really careful because it's a visual medium and you only get moments. For a Star Wars movie, you might get 400,000 frames to tell a story. For a comic, maybe 1,200 of those are. So it's needles in a haystack that you're looking for when you're writing a script.
How did you guys get into this? Like, where did it start? At what point did you go from being a fan to, or were you a fan originally?
I grew up reading like Tintin comics and comics like in sixth grade. And at some point, I fell for that trap where it's like, you got to read chapter books and big boy books. And I got Bill Maher'd, I guess, And I decided, only lately, like I think in the last like maybe, 5 to 6 years, I started to really realize like, no, these are art, literature. They matter. They're part of our contemporary
culture.
Culture. Yes. Yeah. Stan Lee's a modern Shakespeare. I mean, the work that he's done has inspired, countless people to make art.
And Michael, were you just an artist and then you thought, my art sort of lends itself to comic books?
Yeah, this is all I've ever wanted to do since I was like a little kid, like really, really little, probably like, 5, 6 years old. I just wanted to draw comic books. And luckily I found a way to make money.
There's not a lot of people that are doing exactly what they wanted to do from 5 years old on.
No, I consider myself super lucky to have one, been able to do it and make money, but also the idea like looking back and saying, oh yeah, like I never really changed, I never strayed too far from that path. And so I've always been doing comic book art.
Yeah. And I don't want to delve too much into your finances, but you just mentioned make money. You can make money doing this.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways. Like I do conventions almost every weekend, and that's a big part of how I make this my main job.
Uh-huh. Both of you supplement, though, as I understand, like, you sell socks, Eben, is that right?
I'm a pretty fuzzy and ill-defined, I think is how I kind of characterize it. Yeah, I mean, I make and design socks, but they're B-Squad socks, you know, and we'll make our own merchandise. I've named streets.
So it's connected, yeah.
Designed websites and all sorts of things to kind of like pad, but the comic book industry is very, very freelance, so you have to be kind of your own boss and find out where you're going to get that great paycheck.
You know, spend a day in the newsroom and you know that any media project has hiccups. there are unforeseen things that can happen. What are the problems, the stumbling blocks that you can have when putting together a comic book?
I think one of the biggest ones is, you know, you're on a deadline, of course, and when things, you know, when something goes wrong early, it usually leads to something stumbling along the way and pushing those things back.
So, is this like a script sort of?
Yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this on air, but I mean, I'm behind on my scripts right now.
Writer's block, it happens to everyone, right?
There's actually a lot of things that in my life I would use to kind of address my writer's block that I don't really have access to right now. And they're creating other kinds of problems and hiccups and other things. But that's a huge thing. And when that's the first step is the script. So if you you're late on that, then you're turning something over to the artist late. And then the artist is turning that over to the letterist late or the colorist late, you know, so there's an assembly line and it can just all futter out of control really quick.
And Michael, you have the script. You just need to, you know, I say you have to create the artwork that matches that. What are your sort of, you know, stumbling blocks?
For me personally, it's more about just not having enough time. Kind of going back to what the last question is, you know, I do comic conventions every weekend, which means that my actual page time of working on a book is sometimes only Tuesday through Thursday. And so you got to get a lot done in a very short amount of time. So for me, that's always the biggest hurdle is, you know, how do I find the time to pencil, ink, color this full book while at the same time going out and all over the country and selling my art directly to fans.
A media interview, for instance, might interrupt your schedule. You said Tuesday through Thursday. It's Thursday.
Yeah, I know.
So sorry
get
about
right
that.
Back to work after this.
He brought his Cintiq.
Oh, did he really? Yeah. Okay. Hey, so I have to ask this question. The blockbuster movies that we mentioned off the top, do you see the public's interest in those driving more interest in the books themselves? And not just the books that are represented in the movies, but the comic book industry as a whole.
I think that one thing that's very true is that the mainstream interest in the films is definitely putting a lot more interest in the comic book world.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the books, like, I'm sure that there's upticks, but I'd think that it's still one of those things when you go to bigger comic book shows, people are pretty interested in taking pictures with the people that are dressing up, and that's great. Books are harder to kind of convince people to try especially when you're a smaller person that nobody's like really noticed. Like, it's like, hey, I've got a book. And they're like, but that's Will Smith over there. And he just walked by. So I'm going to go over there. Like, it's like, okay, cool. I get it, but I have a cool book.
I have one too. Yeah.
So it can be a real struggle. And I think that people don't realize the fruit of the thing like Avengers Endgame. That all started with the local comic book store, like nurturing that seed, treating those misfits like normal people and letting them kind of come in and like get excited about this thing,
right?
And then turn it into a movie eventually. You know, like that was decades of fandom that eventually yielded this fruit that turned into $1 billion in a weekend for Disney.
Far more positive than, say, the character on The Simpsons that owns a comic book store.
Absolutely.
And is sort of a punching bag for jokes, right?
Yeah, that's one of those, I think, Simpsons stereotypes that is really unfortunate, because I think a lot of the mainstream does have this attitude about the local comic book store where it's like, oh, I don't want to go in there and get like ridiculed for not knowing what Avengers I want to read to start getting into that, you know. And that's the other hurdle of, I think, the industry itself. Mike and I talk about this all the time, is like, why isn't there a trailer for a new comic book in front of the Avengers?
Oh, good point. Right.
I think it's the comic industry not doing a lot to capitalize on the, I mean, you have a movie that just made $1 billion, but when I went to that theater, there wasn't anything to point you to the comics other than the characters themselves. There's nothing in the comic book shop for the most part that matches what's happening on the screen, to where someone could just walk in and easily find those things. I mean, there's trade paperbacks that collect the stories that those comics are based off of, but I feel like the comic industry could be doing a lot more to capitalize on the amount of people that now know the characters.
I mean,
there used to be comics in grocery stores. Why is hardly anyone putting out books where just average non-comic readers can stumble upon them?
Point us to what we can expect this coming summer from you guys. Is that your next release?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, that's what's really... Well, the next thing is the Starburns Present books at Free Comic Book Day. We got six pages of B-Squad in that. And then Starburns Industries Press, which is the publisher of the people that make Rick and Morty and Community and all those things. They've picked up B-Squad now as a series, and they're going to be releasing like this giant size version of our books.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm a little bit
get your head around
it. Oh my
gosh,
books do, and it's crazy and wonderful. But we're re-releasing and remastering a lot of the B-Squad books, and Mike's doing new issues, and I'm scripting new issues, and
it's exciting.
Yeah, that happens in June. That starts in late June.
Congratulations to both of you. That's Eben Bragoon. You just heard Michael Calero. Free Comic Book Day is Saturday. You can attend their signing event, as we mentioned, at A1 Comics in Roseville. The Starburns Presents issue featuring work by Eben and Michael should be available at comic book stores near you. Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate you coming in here today.
All right, thanks for having us on.
And we have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.